When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Celtic kickstart the final phase of the Scottish Premiership campaign this weekend with a trip to Livingston for Sunday's 12 o'clock kickoff. This is Tino with the Countdown to Kickoff show, joined here by Paddy. Paddy, 8 games to go. How are you feeling about it all?
So glad international football's finished, to be honest, you know. I think I do this every time we do a pre-match after the international break. We're just raring to go. I think seeing some of the pictures from training today, just some of the players back on the training pitch is just giving me that jolt of confidence as well. And I just think 8 games, guys will be ready for it. I think having a squad back to almost back to full fitness is just such a confidence boost. When was the last time we've had that this season? So just really looking forward to it. Good game to get things back into our stride, and hopefully we won't put on a good performance on Sunday.
Yeah, I hope so. I'll give you a wee run through, Paddy, just in terms of the availability just shortly. But yeah, as you say, most of the guys back from injury, which is a huge boost. Couple of notable headlines actually in the last couple of days. First one being that Brendan Rodgers, after all the, you know, all the drama post Hearts game there, he's now got a 1-game ban, so he's not in the dugout for Sunday against Livy, but he will be back at Ibrox next week. What's your general thoughts on the ban itself, you know, the severity of the ban, and how important is it to have your gaffer on the sideline?
It's important to have him there for every single game. I'm still pretty disappointed that we never pushed a bit further, and I don't know if there's still stuff going on in the background there. The fact that they say that they accept and respect the decision. But our own manager's obviously come on today, been interviewed in the training field, and was just saying about how he doesn't have any regrets in what he says and why he thinks it's been misconstrued. And I agree with him on that. I think he's a word away from all of this being absolutely nothing. But there certainly was an incompetence in the decision making. They've backed themselves up with obviously not listening to the appeal. Of course, they're going to. But I definitely think we had their number in terms of, you know, just the complacency with VAR, the lack of clarity that we've had all season. It's not just been this game alone. I think that's probably why there's been a lenient side on this suspension, because ultimately we've seen in the past it's the 2 games and that's that. So I would like to see Celtic do more about it. I think that they will. I've got a feeling. I think the stuff has already happened. I don't think Crawford Allen goes for no reason, in my opinion. So yeah, great to have the gaffer back for a big game next week, but this is also a big game on Sunday, so it's a big loss.
Yeah, I agree with you though, just in general there. I think there's more to this whole situation than meets the eye. Crawford Allen, or whoever's head of referees at any given time, does not resign his position with 8 league games remaining unless there's more to it. So I think there's something there. I also realised today, seeing someone tweeted that John Beaton this weekend, he's taking the Partick Thistle-Inverness game in the Championship, and Nick Walsh, he's got Dundee United v Raith Rovers. Big enough games at Championship level, but to me, that looks like a demotion. That's almost like them showing their hand to say these guys haven't performed in recent times, and that's why you end up with those kind of fixtures. Do you feel Celtic are having conversations in the background? They've been very, you know, as you say, very magnanimous about the whole thing, at least, you know, in the press conferences and Brendan Rodgers' words there in the last day or so. Do you think Celtic are asking the questions? You don't appoint that guy, Nick DeMarco, top, you know, legal mind, if it's just a run-of-the-mill, straightforward touchline ban, is it?
There's more to it. As we know as fans, they keep everything very close to their chest, and we don't get a lot of information out of them at all. We're not a club to be just dishing out statements left, right and centre, to be honest. We do it when it matters. And I feel that there is a bit more. There is a bit more in this. I totally agree with you here as well. Hopefully for the good for Scottish football as well. It's been so interesting to see the likes of Motherwell speaking up about VAR as well, and a lot of teams have come out after Crawford Allen and said he's resigning, and I think there's just a bit more to it. I don't know if there's stuff that we don't know in the background, but clubs are not happy with the way it's been operated. I thought Stuart Kettlewell's comments were really, really powerful, just saying his dad gave up with football entirely, stopped watching it, said it's ruining it.
So just on that, so I've not heard his comments, Paddy, and I dare say a lot of folk listening might not have heard it. So what's the gist of what Kettlewell said?
He's just basically been questioned on Motherwell's stance and where they were coming from, and it's not too dissimilar to how Celtic are feeling about it. It's just the lack of transparency from the SFA, the referees, to the clubs, the reasoning behind the decisions that are being made. But I think when asked about it, I think it was a board decision for Motherwell to really go and press on the matter. But when Stuart Kettlewell was asked about it, he says he's getting tired of it. And he says, in fact, his dad, who's been obviously following football all his life, has just decided that's it, it's done, it's finished. And I don't think that guy's going to be on his own. I think there'll be many that are looking at it. You know, you're going to a football game now, you're there for probably the best part of over 2 hours now. In terms of how long it's taking to make decisions, injury time getting added on, it's really just it's taking away the fun factor, it's taking away the adrenaline factor of being a football fan when you're having to sit and wait for two people to draw a line on a still. And even then, they're not getting it right. That's the big issue. So there's different variations of rules now as well. So I can totally understand the frustration. It's good when it works, but it's just not working more than it should be, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think, you know, whether it's Stuart Kettlewell's dad or any number of folks that we speak to and that we all speak to as football fans at any given time, it's draining the soul out of the game, to be honest with you, and I think a lot of folk are just feeling so deflated by it. It's taken away a lot of the good things about football, you know, the spontaneity about football and celebrating and everything that goes with it. And I think from our point of view, so we, you know, our angle, of course, is Celtic, but I don't think, and Brendan Rodgers hasn't implied that it's a bias against Celtic, but incompetency is what he get pulled up for. And I think fans across the board, dare I include Rangers fans, certainly Motherwell, every team's suffering from this, you know, from top level right throughout the game. And you can debate John Beaton and others' allegiances on another day, Paddy, but there's just incompetence across the board. We're seeing horrendous decisions. And then you've got that frustrating situation where the SFA then go and mark their own homework and say, look at all this great work we've done. We've made 150 VAR calls and we've only got a couple of them wrong, which is seriously debatable. I tell you what we'll do. We'll kick on from that just now. There's obviously much more to come from VAR in the months and potentially years ahead. Before you and I kick on with the rest of the show, Paddy, thanks to everyone that's joined us in the live. Paul Brady, Chill, Smell the Glove, Snitch, San Fran, Celtic, a lot of the regular guys, and thanks to everyone who continues to join us. If you do have any comments on anything that we're talking about, whether it's Brendan Rodgers stuff, we're about to talk about the allocation for the Glasgow Derby, and obviously we're going to talk about the Livi game, please feel free to comment or ask any questions, and Paddy and myself will try and get around to them. Paddy, on that note then, so the news just this morning broke that there's now been an agreement that Celtic and Rangers will allocate each other something in the region of 5% for all of the Glasgow Derby fixtures next season. It's not the full reallocation that we're hoping for, but it's certainly a step in the right direction.
Of course it is. I think that, sadly, the Rangers shot themselves in the foot with the full situation as a whole, but the selling of season books, and I think they've sold too many, even that it's affecting this 5% allocation. So I was reading somewhere today that they are now having to write to a lot of those holders, basically informing them that their seat's not going to be available for those games next season. I think it's a very suspect statement from the SPFL about it, to be honest. Around 5%, and whether or not both clubs match the safety required. So it kind of leaves it open for debate. Is there going to be more fallout if the ticket numbers aren't right? Or is it going to be, you know, people aren't happy with where the fans are going to be basing the ground again? They're still leaving it open for tit for tat, in my opinion. But I think it speaks volumes when your TV provider has basically come out and said, hang on a minute, this is affecting the game. And it is affecting the game. We know that. I think both sets of fans know that. Those that really, really care about it as a spectacle. But ultimately, hopefully this is the first step in getting things back to where they should be. I do believe the full allocations should return. I think it creates an incredible atmosphere. There's nothing better when you're in Ibrox and you go and score a winner. And there's nothing better when you're in Celtic Park and you can watch them run out the stadium. So it's great.
Either way. I mean, you know, this fixture is Scottish football's biggest asset. It's our biggest marketing tool. It's, you know, the showpiece of the calendar, or at least the four times minimum that it appears. Obviously, there's cup possibilities as well. Mm-hmm. And I just think, as we often do in Scotland or in Scottish football, we shoot ourselves in the foot, and that's what's happened here. I'm glad they've eventually got around the table and we're heading, hopefully, back towards the right direction. Let's not dress this up as well. And you know, some journalists and some reporters will call this a Celtic and Rangers thing, or they'll use the term that it's an old firm problem. It's a Rangers situation created because they bowed to the demands of a few noisy fans, basically, who couldn't accept Celtic winning their time after time in recent years. And, you know, football is a competitive game. It's a game that's enhanced by rivalries and different things. And we stripped that out of our game, you know, by our own hand, or at least by the SFA's own hand. So hopefully we're getting back to something more like it. Just from a player's point of view as well, Paddy, it's a big draw when you're trying to attract players here. You know, mm-hmm. that fixture, people know about it globally, but it's not been what it should have been in recent times. And even though, you know, we had that really special night, didn't we? Was it February 22? Where Celtic won 3-0 under Ange, it's Real Hitati, it's Leal Abada. An absolute buzz and a half. And one of my, automatically now in my top five, you know, Celtic games of my lifetime in terms of being there. But you do want the fixture to return to what it should be. And hopefully we're not too far away from that. Paddy, we'll get back on to all things Livy. We're about 10 minutes in and we've barely spoken about that, so let's crack on. As I say, Brendan Rodgers spoke this afternoon. Joe Hart was also speaking at the press conference. So in terms of availability, a few important updates. He's mentioned that Cameron Carter-Vickers and Rio Hitati are both available for selection on Sunday. Yang is 50-50. He's played a bit of international stuff. He was away with South Korea's under-23s, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he's picked up a bit of a strain, so they're monitoring him. Louis Palma won't be ready for this one. He'll be available for next week. And very importantly, it seems that Callum McGregor is available, is ready, but they're not risking him on this pitch. I've already slated Scottish football in general, you know, just in the last few moments there. This has got to come into play. We're in a title race. We've got 8 games to go, and we cannot play our captain, or it would be deemed too risky to play our captain because one of our clubs plays in a plastic pitch. Yeah. That cannot be right, can it?
It's not right, and I think that it's good to kind of see that it's probably coming to an end after this season. Where I think obviously Kilmarnock have announced that they're going back to a grass pitch from next season, and it's not looking too good for Livy at the moment. So hopefully that's it finished with. We don't see it in Scottish, been the top flight for a long time. I understand why it makes its way into the lower leagues. I understand that the cost side of things, the amount of postponements that the leagues deal with, the cost of covers, the cost of undersoil heating, they're nowhere near they don't have the finances to basically keep that up to date. So I get it. I get why it's needed. However, it should not be anywhere near the top level of our league. I think it's pretty embarrassing, to be honest. So, yeah, massive that we might see the end of that for next season. As you say, it's keeping out players. Like, you think about even, it's a risk even putting Carter Vickers on there. And you're thinking about other players over the years. We wouldn't play Yozo there. We I think at one point we started resting, this is how far back it was when we started resting Stan Petrov again at Livingston, stuff like that. It's just not got a place in football at all at the top level.
No, it really hasn't, and I think Livy are doomed. Livy are 10 points adrift at this moment in time at the bottom of the table. I wish nobody at Livy, generally, any ill will, but I will not be disappointed to see the back of that surface at all. Kelly have done something about it, or at least are going to be, which is good. There's a comment from Smell of Glove who says that if Raith Rovers come up, they've got a plastic pitch. I didn't realise that, so Starks Park, is that plastic? I didn't know. So on that basis, let's hope Dundee United and somebody else come up, because the more grass parks, the better. Although, you've got the situation there across the way at Dundee as well, where, yes, they've got a grass park, but it's not being maintained or looked after correctly, or there's drainage issues. There's all sorts going on, but listen, football should be played on grass, at least at the top level. Paddy, let's take a look at the team then. So, yeah, there's some calls to be made, and Brendan Rodgers accepted that, out with Callum McGregor. They just need to be careful what they do. I've mentioned Cameron Cattle-Vickers and Rio Hatate, both with notable injury issues this season, and he's got a call to make whether to start with any of those players as well. So let's take it as read, kind of as always, that Joe Hart will start in goals. What's your back four looking like?
I would assume we'll see Alistair Johnson in there, Greg Taylor in there, and Cattle-Vickers. I don't know for a left side. I think it's much of a muchness for me if it's Stephen Welsh or Liam Scales, you know. Was there much said about Navrotsky on the press conference? I said he was back training today, but
there was no mention of him specifically, nor Liam Scales, who obviously missed the last game through injury. Mm-hmm. So I'm presuming they're available, the fact that he's not mentioned them when he's done his injury run through. So take it as read, they're fit and available. Who do you think slots in next to Cattle-Vickers?
Ideally, I would like to see Navrotsky, but I think it would be Scales. I do think it would be Scales on just the match sharpness, more than anything. But yeah, I think that would be a back four for them.
Yeah, I'd mentioned last time out that so obviously Liam Scales missed the St Johnstone game. Prior to that, he'd started Celtic's last 36 games, which I found incredible. And credit to Liam Scales, but we've discussed before, we'll discuss again whether Liam Scales is the future of Celtic or if we need to make improvements there. But I've been inclined to go with it. I think he's a natural left-sider. Do you think, I mean, it's obviously a question, but do you think he's going to risk Cameron Cattle-Vickers from the start?
I think, yes, I really do. I think this is it's a must-win. If you go and get two or three goals, get him off the park, absolutely. But yeah, we need to play our best players now in this running.
I think so, and particularly from the fact that we need leaders, Paddy. We're at a cutthroat time of the season. We're missing Callum McGregor at least till next week. Joe Hart is a leader, and he's proven that in recent weeks and months. But I don't think you want to remove many more than that. So Cameron Cattle-Vickers, I agree with you. I think he's got to come in. And I think the indications are, from what Brendan Rodgers is saying, is that he will likely start. So back four, Alistair Johnson, Greg Taylor, Cameron Cattle-Vickers and Liam Scales. What's your midfield three looking like in the absence of the captain?
In the absence of the captain, I think we go with Iwata, O'Reilly, and I think it'll be Bernardo. I do. I think ideally I would love to see Hatate come in from the start, but I think Hatate might maybe get 30 minutes on Sunday. And I do think he's definitely in contention to start next week.
I think so. I think that's the way they're playing it by the sounds of it. And, again, Rio Hatate's own season has been so stop-start, but he's undoubtedly one of Celtic's most talented players. And again, 8 games to go, there's little room for error. And it's not a time of the season where you can be taking too many chances by leaving your top men out. But I do think it will make perfect sense that he starts on the bench. Whether he plays something like 45 minutes in a bounce game last week against St Mirren, that's all part of his ongoing recovery. I believe he was pictured at training today. I think it's a huge boost. I really think he's such a talent, Paddy. And I think if we see something around about 30 minutes, that'll be a big boost. How much do you think Celtic have missed him in general? We've had such an up and down season, an inconsistent season, some real highs, some mediocrity, some poor stuff at different times as well. How much of that do you think can be put down to the absence of a talent like Rio Hatate?
I do think it's a massive part. I think for me, what we've kind of seen this season is we've always been a team that, well, especially in the last 10 years for me anyway, we've played out for the back and we've been very, very comfortable at doing so, breaking through the lines, more direct passing through the middle. That's just not been the case for Celtic this season. Not too many players willing to take the ball in the middle of the park and get around their player and play it into the channels or play it forward and behind for Kyogo or Ida at the back, up front. I think that gives you that. I think he just opens up different avenues. If he's getting the ball into his feet, he's getting it quick enough. It's one touch and the ball's away 9 times out of 10. He can carry it quite comfortably, absolutely, but I just think he's just a different level above the likes of Bernardo and, dare I say it, Matt O'Reilly as well. I think he reads a game of football better than any of our midfield, to be honest. I'd say McGregor's the closest. Rio Hatate is a special talent, but he's unfortunate. I just don't think he's played enough football in his career to remain fit fully for a full season. So for me, if we've got someone that's going to come in and be able to last 70 minutes for the run-in, he plays those 70 minutes in every game. I think he's huge.
I'm all for that. I think Rio Hatate is arguably Celtic's most talented player. You know, there's real quality around what Celtic have got. You've got Kyogo up top, you've got McGregor. O'Reilly's a huge talent. I think Rio Hatate is potentially the best of the lot. And I think he's potentially the most creative of the lot. And you see situations, it was highlighted a couple of weeks ago against St Johnstone. Listen, Paulo Bernardo is a good footballer and Kamoke Iwata is a good footballer, but they don't see the pass that Hatate sees. And, you know, vision as a footballer is such a huge asset, particularly in the midfield. And also the fact that he's got that wavelength thing going on with Kyogo. And Kyogo continues to make these runs that at different times a lot of Celtic's midfielders miss, including Matt O'Reilly. And I think it's the passes that we've seen historically that Hatate finds. So, touch wood, we're going to see a bit of him this weekend. We'll get to it next week. And Brendan Rodgers is urged focus on this weekend only. I think he starts at Ibrox. I really do. If he comes through Sunday unscathed, him and McGregor returning to the midfield with O'Reilly would be absolutely huge, wouldn't it?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It would be huge. It just depends on your game management, doesn't it? I think, I wouldn't want to take the two of them off. That's kind of my thinking in terms of how fit they would be. I wouldn't mind one of them coming on for the remainder of a game. But such as the pace of a Celtic Rangers game, you would probably want them both in for the start, absolutely. Get up to the speed yet. They're two vital players for us. And listen, if we can keep them fit and we have them for this running, I've seen a few saying the league's lost if we don't win at Ibrox. I'm not of that opinion, to be honest. I still think there's slip-ups from possibly both teams. But if we have our best team available, we could easily go and win every game, in my opinion, as well.
I think we definitely could. And I think that'll be the focus. Celtic, you know, to the media, they'll be talking about this next game mentality and the right to do so. But players, to a huge extent, are the same as us. You know, they'll be glancing ahead. They'll certainly be looking ahead to next weekend. And they'll be looking at the fact that it's then, is it St Mirren, the last game before the split? They'll be having a glance at where they might have to travel in terms of the post-split fixtures. They're just human beings, so they can say one thing. They'll be thinking and discussing internally in a different way. I think in terms of taking Hatate and McGregor off Ibrox, if you need to do that, might as well do it when you're 3-0 up, Paddy. Take a few goals lead and you can make that change. I do think it was interesting, though, that Rodgers was asked a question early on in the press conference, actually, about next week and the impact and Calmac and all that kind of stuff. He was very quick to put the brakes on it. He went, yeah, that's next week. Ask me questions about Sunday. And he was very firm on that. And from that, you can take it as read that the same message is getting put across to the players.
Well, I think it has to be. I think, Rodgers and his coaching staff will have a plan for the next three games. Absolutely. I don't doubt that. They'll be even looking at Aberdeen at this point. But ultimately, you don't want that noise. You don't want that chaos coming in to any other game other than the one that's coming up. And that's Livingston on Sunday. I've got a feeling that this team are just looking forward to it. That 2-week break, that good result against St Johnstone, players coming back, good feeling about things just now, and dare we forget us, we're top of the league as well, and I think that mentally we kick on with that, and we see what it takes us. As I say, it's in our hands. We win every game, we win the league.
Yeah, I love the line from Stephen Wells a couple of weeks ago now, where he says, we don't need any favours. And I like that, and I like the fact that that's how the players are thinking. We've been in situations before, you know, you and I have been watching Celtic a long time, and everyone watching and listening will be the same. You've seen situations where you're requiring snookers or hoping for favours, and that's a horrible feeling, actually, just that anxiety of knowing that it's not in your own hands. We've got a situation now where we're currently top of the tree, albeit Rangers have got a game in hand, but put simply, Celtic win all their games, we win the league, and that's I'm saying that's all you need to do, but that must be the focus in these next eight games. Maestro in the comments, quite rightly, Paddy, he says, let's stick to Sunday, and we'll take his advice and we'll crack back on with a Livy chat. We've got plenty of time next week to cover all the Rangers stuff. Let's go back to the lineup. So we've just completed the midfield. Iwata, O'Reilly and Bernardo, you think, and hopefully Rayo comes off the bench. Up top, let's look at the wide areas first. So Yang was certainly in a healthy bit of form until the John Beaton inspired incident at Hearts. That took him out the equation for a time, so he missed the last two games through suspension. As I said there at the top of the piece, he's been away with South Korea under-23s and got a wee bit of a niggle, so maybe that'll force the manager's hand, because it would have been, I think, him or Nicholas Kuhn on one side and Daizen Maeda on the other. What do you think he'll go with?
Yeah, I think it'll be Maeda on the left, which seems to be a bit more natural for him. I think he's a bit more comfortable down there. I do think that him and Greg Taylor have got a bit more of an understanding of each other as well. And yes, Yang, for me, definitely those games before the suspension where we're kind of seeing someone with a lot of confidence, someone that actually looks as if he'd put a bit of muscle on as well, and just adapting to what life in Scotland is going to be like and what the game's like as well. But we're also now kind of seeing that from Nicholas Kuhn, and I think his game performance against St Johnston was really, really exciting. And again, I think the breaks came at the wrong time for Celtic. Because you want these guys just to kick on and see how they go.
My suggestion was the break came at a good time for us, Paddy. I can see both sides of the argument, but I think just with the Carter Vickers, Rio Hatate, Cal McGregor situation, there's different ways to look at it. Either way, you know, we're back now and we've got some good options. And I think Nicholas Kuhn, you're right, he might not have wanted the break because all of a sudden he'd come to life. I wasn't alone in criticising him after his early performances. I was at Easter Road and I just thought it was one of the poorest performances I've seen from a Celtic winger in some time. And we've had some shocking wingers to contend with in years past. He just couldn't get going, but maybe that all makes sense when you realise that he'd been unwell, losing weight, you know, lacking a bit of power and stuff. And what he has done in the last two games is he's picked up man of the match, two on the bounce, and you can't do any more than that, Paddy, can you?
No, you can't, and I just think that we still don't know what kind of player we've got. Is he a confidence player? Is he someone that's just going to drop out of games? We need to remember it's a very, very difficult position to keep consistency, is playing in the wings. I think, you know, like we've had our moments where we've had anger with James Forrest in performances, but then he just pops up with a man in a match performance as well, showing us what he can do. It's such a difficult position to play. For me, Kuhn, I think, is probably arrived at quite a bad time. A really, really poor transfer window, injuries in the team, a slip up at Aberdeen, obviously going through his injuries, going through a move to a new country, 5.5 year deal, the weight of that on your shoulders as well. Listen, myself included, we're all very, very quick to judge after 40 minutes and we're like, nah, he's not going to do it. But we do have to sometimes kind of just trust in our manager and trust in our coaching team and hope that they've seen something and they think, yeah, we can work with that. And it's still very early days in his career, absolutely, but very positive over the last two games. And I would say a very positive month before the suspension for Yang as well. So good for us going forward in terms of our wingers, because it was looking a bit scary for a while, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, and all of a sudden you've got two guys that seem to have genuinely found their feet. Yang's taken a bit of time, you know, again, arriving in Scotland from South Korea cannot be easy. You know, there's no getting away from that. And I think we're all guilty of just thinking footballers are robots and you just turn up and you switch them on match day and it's good to go. And that's not the case, and we know that now. But Yang has certainly shown something prior to Kun coming in. But I think it's Kun's shirt at this moment in time. And I do think he'll get the nod with Daizen Maeda, who just gives you Maeda stuff. You know, relentless work rate. Great goal at Livy last time out. Let's not forget, he's got that quality in his locker at times. And I think he will get the start on left wing with Nicholas Kun on the right. It's got to be Kyogo through the middle, Paddy, hasn't it?
Yeah, best striker in Scotland. Absolutely. Must be.
Yeah. What about Adam Eda and the part that he might play, either at Livy or generally in the running?
He'll have his part in the running. I think it's not going to be plain sailing every game. I don't think we're going to go and win 3-4-0 each game. There's going to be difficult ones. There's going to be games where we might take it in the last 15 minutes. And I think he definitely has a part to play. Whether that's alongside Kyogo, replacing Kyogo, I'm not so sure. I think he's imposed himself pretty well. I've seen a few people suggest that he's woke Kyogo up a bit. I don't think that that's been the case. I just think there's been a bit of a difference in Alistair Johnson coming back and the service from our right wing more than anything. So for me, I think he will have a part to play. I think everyone in that squad has a part to play in this running. But I really like the big guy. I think he can do a job for us. I really do.
I like him a lot as well. And I'd be quite hopeful of Celtic making his deal permanent. It's clearly not happening for him for whatever reason at Norwich. And he's sprung into life. He's played a really important part so far. I think he's got 5 goals and 9 appearances, something like that. 2 really important doubles at Hibs and at Motherwell, which has enabled Celtic to pick up some really important points. I think Kyogo's come to life in different ways. I agree with you. I think there's some good stuff happening down the right-hand side. Yes, from Alistair Johnson and either from Nicholas Kun or Yang up ahead. And it's a change from... I like Louis Palma a lot. I really do. I think he's talented. But it's not really happening. This constant turning inside has not been good for Kyogo. You know, this cutting inside from the left onto your right foot. And he now finds himself out the team through injury, but he was already slipping out the team. And I actually think those changes, whether they're by luck or by design, have really helped Kyogo moving forward. But there's no doubt, Paddy, the impact that competition can have on any player, and knowing that you're not guaranteed a start all of a sudden because for whatever reason, has fallen completely off the radar. But knowing that you've got competition in the shape of Adam Eda, I think that's healthy for Kyogo, and I think we're reaping the rewards of that. So, Paddy, just to confirm your lineup: Joe Hart in goals, Alistair Johnson and Greg Taylor at fullback, Carter Vickers and Scales in the centre. Midfield 3, Tomoki Iwata, Paolo Bernardo, Matt O'Reilly. On the wings, you've got Kun on the right, Maeda on the left, and Kyogo through the middle. Before we get a look at Livingston and some of the games so far, comment you'll see on the screen from Anthony. Anthony, welcome to the show. Anthony said that he doesn't know how he's not found the Celtic Exchange before. He's been watching a few of the videos, very much enjoying them, and he thinks it's going to be some 6 weeks ahead. It sure is, Anthony. But listen, a big thanks and a big welcome to Anthony and all the many, many new followers that we've had in recent times. The battle to save Celtic has been phenomenal for us. It's been a series we put out highlighting 30 years since the Fergus McCann takeover, and our numbers have gone through the roof. So if it's Anthony or anyone else joining us today for the first time, welcome to the Celtic Exchange. Hope you enjoy what we do, and we'll continue doing our best to bring you all these shows as often as we can. Paddy, in terms of Livy, so yeah, we've played them 3 times this season, 2 in the league, 1 in the cup, and we've won every fixture. There has been this cliche, if you want to call it, that Livy's a tricky place to go, difficult surface, Celtic's record's a bit sketchy there.
Yeah.
Let's not kid on about it. Livy are a poor, poor outfit this season. They've got 17 points from 30 league games, so 17 points out of 90. They've only won 3 league games all season. 3 league games. They've scored 20 goals in that time. They've conceded 52, and they've lost 19 games, drawn 8 of them. What do you think we can expect from them come Sunday? Have they got the ability to make it difficult for Celtic, or are they just a poor outfit?
I think they're a poor outfit. I think it's finally caught up with them. They've punched above their weight quite a few seasons in a row now. And listen, it's credit to them for being able to stay in the division and keep their heads above the water. But ultimately, there's just not a big enough fan base and B a big enough like input of money for them as well. They keep speaking about potential buyers, but it's just nothing seems to be falling for them as well. And I think this season has just been a season too many for them. But it's football. It's a shame to see teams get relegated, but then you've got obviously got to give all the other teams that are going and winning their divisions elsewhere an opportunity to come back up into the top league as well. I don't think they go anywhere. I don't think they disappear. But I do think they might be down in the Championship for some time if they do get down. I think, as I say, they've lost some really, really key players last summer. And I don't think he's been given much room to go and try and bring some players in. I wouldn't say I'm disappointed. I'm not a huge fan of David Martindale, to be honest. But it's just one of those things, and they can take their part with him.
no sympathy from you, Paddy. As I said at the top of the piece, I wish no ill will to anybody at Livingston, but I just don't enjoy what they bring to the table. They don't play good football. They don't have a good place to play. They don't have a great travelling support. It's hard to, and understand the challenges of supporting a smaller club like that, but it's hard to see what they bring to enhance the top flight. I don't think they bring much at all. I'd far rather see a club like Dundee United or Partick Thistle, or even Raith Rovers, whether they've got a plastic pitch or not. Teams with a good bit of history, a bit of tradition about them. Not that it's all about looking back the way and getting all misty-eyed about it, but these are clubs which I do think would benefit the top flight, in a much bigger way. In terms of the games we've played against them, so the most recent one was only a couple of weeks ago, or a few weeks ago, 4-2 in the Scottish Cup back in the 10th of March. Prior to that, we played them just before Christmas, 23rd of December. We won 2-0 at Celtic Park. And then on the 23rd of September, we won 3-0 there. I mentioned that Dyes Maeda scored that brilliant curling left-footed goal at the end, and Matt O'Reilly and Rio Hitati had scored prior to that. How do you think the players feel, Paddy, about this surface? Obviously, it's not ideal, but they should be feeling pretty good about themselves, pretty confident. And even though, we've had that disappointment at Tynecastle, and you can debate the merits of VAR on that particular occasion, they should be in a pretty decent place at this moment in time.
They should be. Ideally, you hope for a bit of rain on Sunday. We tend not to get that when we play Livingston. It's a very dry park and it slows us down a bit. So if we get a bit of rain on Sunday, I think it gives us a strong performance. I think we move the ball a lot quicker. And if it's not, if it's going to be a drier day, I think that we sometimes just need to kind of be a bit patient in these kind of games, because I think the ball holds up something awful on the kind of parks. And it slows down the kind of football we're trying to play. But I'm excited. I don't know about you. I thought the game against St Johnstone was a lot more like it. A lot more was paying off, and we were moving the ball in between the lines so much quicker than we have in a long time. And I just think that we want to just continue that. I would love us to go and score 3 or 4 on Sunday. But I just know that sometimes as well, it might not be your day. You might be up against the elements and just have to be patient about it. But I think we should have enough.
We should do it. And actually, Paddy, I don't think we can allow it not to be our day. We need to make it our day by hook or by crook. But I heard Stephen O'Donnell talking last week on the radio. I can't remember. I think it was on Sunday. He was on Off the Ball. And he was talking about, he obviously played at Kilmarnock for a time. And he said that when they were playing the likes of Celtic and Rangers, they were praying for dry days, because that sticky, dry plastic surface kind of spoiled the game in a way that was very much in Kelly's favour at that time, and not in Celtic or Rangers, for example. And I think that's what Livy will be doing. They'll be praying for sunshine and dry days through there at Almondvale on Sunday. And they certainly won't be watering the park, to help us out. But a bit of rain, a bit of drizzle would certainly help Celtic and allow us to play the way we play. In terms of Livy, just to kind of finish them, in the last 5 games, they've lost 4 and drawn 1. They drew with St Johnstone, but they lost to Ross County, to Motherwell, to ourselves in the Scottish Cup, and they get hammered 3-0 by Hibs last time out. And I think when you're at that place, even the most optimistic of Livy's players or supporters, I think they accept that they're done. They've got, as I say, they're 10 points adrift and they've only won 3 games this season. It just doesn't add up, unless there's a miracle or a complete collapse elsewhere. I don't see that happening. And I think what you've got there is a group of players who are a bit down in their luck, feeling a wee bit, thinking about what the next move is. Can my agent get me out of here next season or whatever? And I just think, I say this a lot about different games, but if Celtic cannot go and take care of business on Sunday, then you don't deserve to win the league title. And I don't want to make that a negative slant. I think Celtic absolutely are capable, but you've got to go and run through these kind of games and take care of business. Paddy, we've done plenty of talking, probably a bit too much talking, ran on a wee bit longer than anticipated, but what do you think the scoreline will be? What are you going for on Sunday?
I think it'll be a comfortable performance. I think we'll hopefully try and get the game done and dusted in the first hour. I would go for 3-0 Celtic.
3-0. I'll need to bring James back. He likes to throw on a 5 or a 6 on these kind of occasions. I do think it'll be comprehensive though, Paddy. I'm going to go 4. I think Celtic will win 4-0 there. I just don't think Livy have got much to offer at either side of the pitch. They're not bringing much from a creative sense. I really like the guy Joel Nubley, actually. I think he's a talented guy. He's a big, powerful front man. But you can't do it on your own. There's nobody to support him to help him do what he tries to do. So I think they offer very little in an attacking sense, and they're leaking goals right, left and centre at the back. And I think that's what could lead to a pretty comfy scoreline on the day. Paddy, as I say, we're kind of heading towards the end of this episode. First one back in a couple of weeks, so it's good to get back and good to see all the various comments coming in. Your final thoughts ahead of Celtic's trip to Livy?
It definitely is good to, as I say, good to get away from international football. No offence to it, but it's just not my cup of tea at all. This is what it's all about. This is the bread and butter. I'm sure the players will be raring to go. Those that haven't been away with their countries in the 2 weeks will be buzzing to get back to it and just ready to lay that marker down. You know, I just think that, as I said, it's in our hands. It's up to us if we want to go and win this league. And I just think we've got enough about us, especially the players coming back. We've got enough in the tank to go and do it. And I do see us going and taking the Scottish Cup if we want as well.
Yeah, here's hoping. And you know, it's going to be exciting getting guys like Rio Hatate and others back on Sunday. Very much want to look forward to. But Paddy, it's business end of the season. 8 games to go league-wise. This is the first of 8. And hopefully Celtic can get a big win on the day. We would usually be back with the final whistle show shortly after the game on Sunday. But it's Easter Sunday, folks. There's some logistics stuff going on. So we'll catch it. We'll wrap it up into the weekly show, which will be back on Monday around about 8 or 9 o'clock. So we'll look forward to seeing you all then. In the meantime, thanks to Paddy for joining me here today. Have a great Easter weekend and we'll see you all very soon. Podcast Network.